Career Brand. I am Latrice Collins, your host, and excited to bring to you but another series that's designed to help empower you to the next level of your career. So for those of you who've been tuning in, this is the fourth and final series, final episode in a four-part series. We've already covered the power of emotional intelligence. We've gone through recognizing individual communication styles, and then last week we covered emotions versus logic, which will win the battle. And if anyone needs to listen to any of those episodes, you can always go to our archives to find that. Now, today's episode, we're going to be focusing really strong on navigating through company culture and management styles. So, many people know if you've been trying to move up in your career and if you've been switching companies, there's a great possibility that you've hit some glitches, some glass ceilings, or just some conflict on making that happen. So on today's show, we're going to talk about that a bit, and we're going to see if we can provide you with some tools and techniques in order for you to understand what's at play and being able to navigate through those particular waters. As always, if you're interested in dialing in, feel free to call us at 347-324-5330. Now, today we're going to jump into the show. Last week, we were getting in all into the information. We only have 30 minutes to bring to you a lot of packed information. And I'm so excited to say that we once again are able to bring back this superstar in my mind, and that is Tisha Lucero. Tisha is one of the senior vice presidents at Wells Fargo. Tisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
I had a blast last week. We talked about before the show that it was going to go fast, and before we knew it, that 30 minutes came and went, and so excited that you're able to be with us again today.
Well, I'm excited to be here, and I know that hopefully I gave some good nuggets last week and hope to do the same today.
So let me tell you guys a little bit about Tisha, and then we're going to jump back, and we're just going to jump right in so that we can fill you all with all the information that we can do in this period of time that's left. Now, as I said earlier, Tisha is one of the senior vice presidents at Wells Fargo. She works within the learning and development division with their consumer lending group. She leads learning functions for the home lending division, and she supports servicing, customer excellence, and production. And her team focuses on providing learning and development solutions for over 40,000 employees. Now, while Tisha is a senior vice president at Wells Fargo, of course, one of Fortune 500 companies, she's also been a senior executive with JPMorgan Chase and with Citigroup and several other organizations where she has grown with a passion of how to develop people. So there's no one better that we can bring online than someone of this magnitude, not to mention she has a passion for balance in life and family and friends. So she gets it. She totally gets that it's about how to be successful, but how to also enjoy this life at the same time. So, again, thanks so much, Tisha, for joining us with the show.
So welcome to be
let's
here.
Thanks. So let's jump into it. So today we're talking about, you know, managing through cultures and styles. And so let's start off first with really looking at company cultures. Tisha, can you explain to our listening audience, you know, what exactly do we mean by company culture?
Well, that's a great question. And I would say that what makes up a company culture are many things. And I would say that you've got the vision or mission statement. You have the values, the practices, the people, and the environment. And I can talk a little bit about each one of those. So to start with, you have a vision or mission statement, and that's the purpose. What is the company there to do? Where are they headed? How do they help their customers? What product are they promoting? That's truly the vision or mission. And then with that vision and mission, there's also the values. And this is a set of guidelines or behaviors that need to drive that vision or mission. And you've got to think about, how do we get there? Then there are the practices. And practices come into play in different ways. A practice could be around having an open door policy. And what does that look like? That means welcoming dialogue from your employees or your management team. A practice could be making people the greatest asset of an organization. And you would see that show up as where a company puts their investment. Do they put a large investment back in their people? So that's the vision, the values, and the practices. And then you have the people aspect. People make up a culture. No company can do it without people. And people that you hire must share the same core values as the organization, or be willing to adjust and embrace the vision and the values of the organization and put them into practice. So that people really make up a large part of a culture. And then lastly, you have the environment. And a lot of people would say, well, what do you mean the environment? And I mean the building, the cubicle, the office, a bullpen, whatever that environment looks like that you sit in also promotes certain behaviors within a culture.
Now, those are very, very, very strong pieces, because especially if you're not working for the company yet, right, Tesha, if you are going to interview with the company, it sounds like the one good thing about understanding a culture is if you do a little due diligence, meaning do a little research about the company beforehand, you can figure out, look at their vision statement, go to their websites, right, and see what they're saying about their company and what they stand for. And then when you go, you've also described visual observations on what does that look like when you go there. Is that the type of, does it link to what they're saying their company culture is? How does it promote that? And is that the type of culture that works for you?
Absolutely. Right? You can do a lot of this digging ahead of time. And I can share a story of my experience. When I was interviewing with an organization, I showed up at the building early. The interview started at 9, but I showed up at 8 o'clock to sit in the lobby. And I sat in the lobby to watch how people were coming in. Were they showing up on time? Were they happy? Were they talking to each other? Were they excited to be a part of this organization? So just that hour of observation shared a lot around the company culture.
And even piggybacking on that, Tesha, imagine, you know, we all have multiple, depending on what role you're applying for, you have multiple layers of interviewing. And what it might look like in that HR area when you're sitting and waiting might be significantly different than when you go to the production interview, right? So when you go from HR, one building, one location, one office, over to where you would be working, and the people who are in that environment, that might look extremely different, and the behavior might be extremely different. And so it's important to notate both, not just one side of it, but really focus on what are you seeing different, not just in the different environments in that one company, but also interaction on the different levels. Because Tisha's sitting there an hour earlier, she can tell who are the leaders who come in and what their behavior looks like and how they're interacting versus the team members who come in and what their behavior looks like and how they're interacting. And that'll really give some credence and foundation to the type of organization that they are.
Absolutely.
Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. And to your point, I think one of the things for your listeners is when you are in that interview process, and especially to your point, if you're moving from one interviewer to the next and they sit in different departments, you have to think about interviewing for culture. I think if somebody would have told me that early on in my career, I probably would have at least assimilated differently into some organizations, but I never thought about that young in my career. Ask about the culture. What keeps people motivated? How are things communicated? What type of events do you hold to support the community? Anything that is of value to you or aligns with your personal beliefs and core values, ask those questions.
That is so good. This is so good. My paper is out of space. You know how you try to write around certain items? This is really good. So I can imagine people either pulled over or jotting down notes because, to your point, you know to look up press releases around what they're doing different. So you can talk about the products and the community. But understanding that culture and how it fits in and just being astute enough to look at relationships and behaviors of which things look like they're tense and which things look very relaxed and friendly, that speaks volumes to really what that culture looks like and how you have to flex to fit into that culture.
Absolutely.
So, Tisha, what do you think are some, I think we've kind of touched, we've touched on the layers as well, on identifying some of the layers in the culture. Is there anything else you want to add to how a person can identify those?
I would say another opportunity would be to talk to people in the environment. If you have a connection to a current employee, to talk to them, to ask them questions. You know, it's always a good question for me is, tell me what a bad day looks like in the office and what makes it a bad day.
And I know we used to coach people on getting to the office the day before. And you can actually ask people in the parking lot. You know, you see someone walking in and say, I'm really interested in coming to work for the organization. Somebody who looks friendly, you know, but I'm really interested in it. And don't pick the person already looking grouchy. No, let's not do that. But someone looking friendly who's going in an organization, you can ask a couple different people that look like they're different roles in the organization. But you'd be surprised on how much insight you're getting about the company, because the company in reality, especially depending on how unique and sharp your skill is, they really want you. And so then they know talent. People know talent when they're interviewing it. And so when that's the case, they're going to sell themselves for all the greatness that they offer without you knowing all the other pieces as well. So you doing your own research really helps to know, is this where I want to spend my 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day? You know, is this where I want to put it? Because I'm going to put everything I have to helping them to be successful.
Absolutely.
So Tisha, what do you think are some effective ways to navigate through that company culture? So we kind of talked about the person interviewing for the job. But let's kind of switch to their people already in a culture, and maybe they've been struggling a bit with the company culture. So what are some tips you can think of on effective ways of navigating through that culture?
I think they link back to what we had just discussed, Latrice, but you're in the environment now. And it's going back to, you have to be observant and you have to listen. And asking questions. Once you're in the environment and you've met your direct team or you've met some colleagues, peers, it starts to ask questions. How do things work? How do I get a proposal? What's the best way to get a proposal or my ideas across? Are there influencers in the organization that I should leverage? Look at the environment. What tools do they use? Do you notice that people like to post information on a SharePoint site or really leverage the internet? Those are all things that help you navigate through the culture. Be social. Go out to lunch with people. Talk to people. Invite people to coffee. Be social. And then I would, you know, just tie that all back to that listening and being observant. There are a lot of things you can do to really understand the culture while you're in it, and it's truly about how do you navigate. Once you've made that decision, you're submerged, you're there. It's how do I navigate to stay on my career path, be productive, and a happy employee.
Yep. There's actually as much work that goes into developing and becoming part of a culture and strengthening that culture as it is to doing the job itself. I mean, you really have to flex yourself in one way. And what's important here, because I can imagine people are saying, I don't want to go to lunch with people. And, you know, you don't have to do certain things, what's important and what Tisha is really emphasizing on, like going to lunch and coffee, is that that's building relationships with people. It could be you go get the coffee, or you're going to the coffee machine and saying, you know, hey, Tisha, you want me to grab your cup? I'm headed over to the coffee machine to get something or some tea. You want something. It's just simple things that bring you closer to the individuals in your team. Now, I want to add a little bit, Tisha, too, and forgive me for cutting you off. I want to add a little bit to what Tisha said, because earlier she also talked about open door policy. So there's open door policy, and then kind of the flip of that is chain of command. And maybe it's not a total flip, but it's very significant in certain organizations. And so I just want to make sure we speak to that point, too, because chain of commands are individuals especially, that want to make sure there's a chain of command that's followed when it comes to escalations or ideas and so forth. And that means if they're strong, if the person or the company is strong on chain of commands, that means they encourage you to go to your direct manager to share ideas, to talk about challenges and problems, to voice your concerns and your excitement, but they want you to go to them, and that manager will go to the next manager and so forth. And there is a lot of order that comes from that, because that way everybody's in the loop, everybody knows what's going on, and you get to shine in front of your direct manager, and then the next manager is involved with what's coming throughout their organization. So companies that are very pro chain of command, if you treat that company or that person like an open door policy, where you just go into anybody's office, or you know, no matter who they are in an organization, and complain or share your thoughts, that might be a clash in itself with that type of culture. And so you have to be very aware of that, so you can make sure that you are communicating effectively with those individuals. Would you agree with that, Tisha?
I totally agree with that. In the way that you wrapped it up there, that is culture, right? That process, that's the practice. Yes, it's open door, but we want you to follow your chain of command. That's the process and the practice that they've established to help create the culture.
Mm-hmm. And some other ones are just the opposite. I think it's a company's name, but I remember talking with their leaders. They literally have like a think tank. And they expect anybody with ideas to say, can you meet me in a think tank? And anybody can go in a think tank. And they don't want it through a company culture, but then there's pros and cons to both styles. But the challenge is you have to know what the styles look like. And you might even work for an organization that is one style, but the manager is the other style. So now you really got to get flexible, right? So if the company is in the style of one way, you have to be able to make sure you adhere to that, but then making sure you adhere to what the manager needs as well. And if it feels like a major conflict between the two, you got to talk to your manager and say, can you walk me through the best way I can do this to make sure that I'm satisfying both what you're needing as well as what the organization needs as well?
And that's such a great point, Latrice, that your style versus the culture, there may be a clash or a disconnect, and you do have to flex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
why it's so important that as you're interviewing, you understand the culture. So you know once you get in, you do have to flex. You don't want to think it's one thing, sit down in the chair, and then figure out it's something completely different, and you're not willing to change.
Right. That's right. That's right. Wow, the time is flying. We're going to have to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to jump back into it, where we're going to start talking about the identifying management styles and how do you navigate around that. So give us 1 minute.
We all know that companies have a brand, but what about you? What's your career brand? TheCareerBrand.com will help you identify your brand, your career brand. Navigating the career landscape can be daunting and challenging, but you don't have to go it alone. TheCareerBrand.com is dedicated to guiding professionals through the career branding process. With the use of cutting-edge tools, training, and consulting top career coach, author, and creator of TheCareerBrand.com, Latrice Collins. At thecareerbrand.com, you will find incredible and useful career branding books by Latrice Collins that will show you the ways of breaking through the glass ceilings. Men and women of all ages have raved about the benefits they receive from these books. Also, don't miss Latrice Collins' webinar, Brand Ignition. Companies are always looking for the best talent. With Latrice Collins and the tools at thecareerbrand.com, you will demonstrate to employers you are that talent. To learn more, visit thecareerbrand.com.
And we are back. So in the last part of the show, we really want to focus on, we've talked about the company culture, which is the collection of the values and the processes in place that really makes the rhythm of that company. So now we want to switch and talk a little bit about management styles. And so switching over to that, Tisha, I'm going to toss you back a quick question. And what do you think are some of the main management styles that you've identified in companies? Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me get Tisha back on the line. So, Tisha, I'm not sure if you heard the question or not from me.
I did hear the question.
Okay, thank you, Tisha.
Okay, so I heard the question, and there are five styles that I'm going to talk about, and I'm sure they've been renamed and repackaged, but this should give you just a good foundational. One is the laissez-faire style, and this is just the manager who really doesn't put out a lot of direction or supervision to the employee and allows people just to kind of work at their own pace and more free flowing, if you will. Then there's the autocratic. This is the manager who allows the team to make some decisions and, or at times, will make the decisions for the team without the input of others. Then you have the participative style. This values the input of all of the team members and peers. Then there's the transactional style, and this is more collaborative in setting goals and coaching people, training and ensuring if something goes off target, that there's conversations to pull things back. And then I would say the last one is the transformational management style, and this one is highly motivating employees, ensuring there's a high degree of productivity, that there's a lot and effective communication going back and forth, and this manager is highly visible in the organization.
Have you identified with those different styles, are there any that stand out to be, that appear to be more effective than the others?
You know, that's a great question, and I can't say that anyone is more effective. I think it ties back to what we were talking about with culture. Mm-hmm. All of these styles can be good if used in the right way, in the right organization, with the right team.
Mm. And see, now that's
big. Yeah, it is big. And that depends on what you're trying to accomplish, right? You wouldn't want to have that laissez-faire leader when you're trying to create some type of organizational change or you're trying to introduce new technology. You really want somebody who's going to have more of that transformational mindset and behavior.
Right. So, Tisha, I want you, if you don't mind, can you, shucks, we only have a few minutes left, but I really want people to get this because I think what you're saying right now is so powerful because it's important as you all listen to hear and identify which is your natural style that you normally fall into. And the reason that's important is because most of us can flex into varying styles, but you have one that's more natural to you. Well, if you're going, depending on the culture of the organization, plus the situation at work, you have to be able to flex into different styles to show your effectiveness. Otherwise, you are not going to be able to produce results, right? So, Tisha, could you just call off just the name of those five again for them, and then we'll jump into another question as well?
Sure. It's the laissez-faire, the autocratic, the participative, transactional, and transformational.
Okay. So I love that. I know I interrupted Tisha, and she was talking about the importance of one, especially if you're working with change management, right? If you are trying to move into a new business or expand in an area or there's a new leader came on, so you have to really drive your people how to go into a different direction. It's really important to be able to have the right style. Can you give us another example of that, of what works or not works based on those five?
So, yes, let's talk about the participative that values the input of others. If you're in a in a situation, I'm just going to use, this is an extreme, but the military, for example. You're in a military or government environment that is highly hierarchical, very strict in process. There's a chain of command. Being in that style or having that as your primary preference wouldn't fit in that environment. Because you're seeking the input of others, you want to collaborate, you want to have, you know, suggestions. But in that type of an environment, it's here's the process, here's how we move, work through, and go on.
Yep, that's a perfect example, one I want to piggyback a little bit on as well. So I've been doing a lot of work with veterans lately and with the Veterans Administration. And you'll hear when you're talking to the to the participants that they do have, they do flex in their styles, right? But to your point, the overall culture is one particular type of style. And what's important to understand is there's a place and time for each one. Now, as some of you have heard from other shows, we're going to be doing a series for military vets as well later, because transitioning into the private sector and the public sector is very different than the career in the military or in some form of structured environment. So it's important to be able to showcase that you can either use that style to the benefit of others. For instance, it might be a perfect style to use if you're going into an environment where they intentionally brought you in to create structure and order in an organization, right? So they want someone to help with processes at play, with really identifying roles, with helping them to drive behaviors in the organization to achieve certain things. That works beautifully. But if they're wanting somebody who wants to really open up and change the environment, you really have to flex and switch directions. So you have to really take these nuggets that Tish is sharing, because it's very important. There is no one way that only fits in one organization. That's not the case. But if you ignore that your style is significantly different than the style they want and the style that they are, you're going to face a clash when you get to that organization. So, Tisha, there are a lot of people who are interested in climbing in management, either getting into management or climbing higher in management. Do you have any suggestions or ideas they need to think about on what type of management styles would help them, or the use of the styles would help them in getting promoted into a leadership role?
Again, I think it ties back to everything that you just talked about, knowing the culture, knowing the styles of others that you will be working with, and how you can leverage. We all have a preference. We all kind of lean towards one style, but you can flex. To your earlier point, you do need to flex. There's ever-changing environment, ever-changing people that we have to learn how to flex. And that's what I would say would be the two nuggets I would want to leave your listeners. One is be self-aware. You have to know yourself and what your preferences are and how you behave and how those behaviors come out. But because you know yourself, and I know there's this whole, but I'm authentic, I'm true to who I am. Yes, mm-hmm. We all want to be true to who we are. But in order to live in this world, we have to flex. So be flexible. Know who you are, but know where you need to flex.
Absolutely. Tisha, thank you so much. As always, thank you so much for what you've offered to the show. I can't wait to figure out how to have you back again to share with them. I think this is a wonderful show that will air quite a bit for other people. Again, I am Latrice Collins, the host and the president of The Career Brand. If you need to reach out to us, don't forget to just email us at info@thecareerbrand.com. Or feel free to call us at 972-789-5159. Tisha, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate what you have to offer, and we look forward to working with you again.
Thank you.